So, today's episode is a very interesting episode. We'll be discussing a little bit of non-physical science, a little bit of non-verbal communication, and a little bit of highly sensitive people and empathic behavior. Or should I say, the empath. So, without further ado, let's get right into today's episode. Wait, before we do, I want to remind you that if you have yet to subscribe to this show, Elevated Toes Radio, then make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you consume this podcast. If it's on Apple Podcasts, hit subscribe, turn the bell on, so that way you get the notifications every time we post a new episode. If you listen on Spotify, make sure you're following us. Stay up to date with us. You can get all the updates and notifications for whenever we post a new episode, all right? On Twitter, you can contact us directly at Elevated Toes Pod. That's Elevated Toes, P-O-D. Post a few interesting topics there, and engage with you guys over there. If you want to hit that up, then contact me over there. So this is your host Nigel Jamal, and without further ado, let's get right into today's episode. Nikola Tesla said that when we begin to study non-physical science, we'll have made more progress in 10 years than the last centuries in other physical studies of physical science. Seems that the phenomena of non-physical science is almost sci-fi, science fiction, to the majority of the population, at least the American population in Western culture. And it's weird because we all know that feeling you get when someone's staring at you, or, you know, when you just know that the bus is coming, or someone's thinking about you, and then you get a text message from that person or phone call. You know, how can you explain these things? How can you explain a song that didn't touch you physically, but you just heard the sounds, you heard the music, and it makes your hair stand up on your, in the back of your neck, on your body, wherever? How do you explain walking into a room and just feeling completely terrible about the vibrations, the vibe in there, and then needing to walk out? How do you explain these things? See, what I like to do, as I mentioned in the last episode, if you tuned in, is raise questions and get the gears going, so that way we're all thinking on the answers to some of these questions, or some of these things that we don't really ever question. It's true that when you begin to question anything, you end up coming to an answer. There's this one particular quote that I'd like to share with you guys. And it goes, behind every problem is a question trying to ask itself. Behind every question is an answer trying to reveal itself. And behind every answer is an action trying to take place. So behind every action is a way of life trying to be born. And that's so deep because, you know, the way of life of nonverbal communication, of telepathic communication, of body language, it's more than pseudoscience, it's more than science fiction. It's actually how we began communicating since birth. It's funny how nonverbal communication is looked at, you know, telepathic communication and things, and that entire category is looked at as science fiction. And a lot of people still are skeptical about it. And we do have, there was a study in Harvard, 2014, that proved the validity of electrons responding to other electrons, even when they were distant in two separate areas. So telepathy is real, my friends and listeners. I want you guys to know that. Telepathy. Tele. The root of tele is Latin for distant. And pathy. The root of pathy is pathos, which the root of that means feeling. So the distant feeling. You see, words can get lost in translation and language can confuse things. I did a search on nonverbal communication, and what was sad to see was the majority of information that came up for that had everything to do with autistic children and adults. Why is that? Why, when you want to study nonverbal communication, are you bombarded with articles on people with autism who don't speak or who are nonverbal? I just feel like that's a misrepresentation of a way of life that is trying to be born in humanity. We already communicate nonverbally. Statistically proven that 80% of communication is nonverbal. So it behooves me to see that the majority of the research on nonverbal communication is geared towards getting autistic children and adults to speak language. You know, I have a question. What if those nonverbal or autistic children and adults knew how to speak, but their preference was nonverbal communication? What if their preference of communicating with one another was nonverbally? What if they're more effective in getting their message across and communicating with each human they interact with in a nonverbal way? And then we're here trying to force language on them. Language was forced on us. Words and symbols were forced on us. Because we are born knowing how to communicate with signals, sounds, and hand and gestures. But we are taught speech and we are taught language. You know, a baby is born with the fear of being dropped and the fear of being left alone. That's it. Everything else is programming. Everything else has been given to us growing up, including language and words. It's a different time in humanity right now, where psychic communication and telepathic communication is at an all-time high. And in my humble opinion, I believe the evolved human, or our evolution that's already taken place, will be our communication non-verbally. Something interesting came to me as I researched these topics and thought deeply about it. In all of the movies and TV shows, such as like Minority Report and, you know, Ready Player One and The Jetsons and Futurama, you know, just to mention a few, these futuristic TV shows have something in common, a common theme. And no, it's not the flying cars or the robots, more so the wireless connectivity, how we are more connected wirelessly. That is the common theme I've noticed in the majority of these futuristic movies and films. Yes, there is artificial intelligence, but our own intelligence seems to connect us wirelessly without cords and cables and wires. And it seems like for a long time we believed that the future was going to be flying vehicles and automated everything, you know, automated commute schedules, automated trains and planes and automated food and automated restaurants and automated shopping. Well, if you think about it, we're already there. They have drones in certain parts of the world, Amazon drones that deliver packages to your doorstep. There's also self-checkout. No interaction needed between you and another human, just, and no cash needed either. You can pay via your device, handheld device, or you can use a card. So I think that, once again, in my humble opinion, that we are already in the future that we imagined. And although it may not look like it did in the movies and science fiction, it's much like that. Because we are communicating with each other through wireless devices that are set up through different satellites and different towers, cell towers, and different frequencies, vibrations, and codes. An infinite amount of frequencies, vibrations, and codes. If I want to communicate with someone directly from my phone to their phone, all I have to do is dial their frequency, or commonly known as their phone number. If I want to dial 1234, 1234, 555, that will reach somebody. And that is their particular frequency. That is wireless communication. What we fail to recognize about us already being in the future, in this 21st century, is that a lot of technology has already been created in the last 400 to 12,000 years. And all we've been doing is perfecting it and perfecting it and perfecting it and perfecting it and altering it and altering it and making it better and repackaging it and you know, the root of the word technology is early 17th century. Technologia, which stands for, it's Greek for systematic treatment, which comes from the word techne, which stands for art and craft, plus logia, which, if you want to see deeper into that, look it up. I love an educated consumer. I love hearing what you guys have to say on these topics and getting your minds curious, getting you curious about doing your own research, and getting you curious about what exists out there beyond what we're fed every day. So, to continue the conversation about our phones communicating with one another, our minds are also our phones. Our minds are also our cell towers and our satellites, constantly emitting frequencies, high and low frequencies. Everything is energy. Everything vibrates. Our thoughts are energy. So the thoughts that we think carry their own energy. The feelings that we feel carry their own energy. So, in turn, our thoughts and our feelings, our emotions, are just energy in motion. That's a widely accepted concept. And if you're hearing this information for the first time, then I suggest you look up what I'm talking about here. Because we are already shifting into a new pattern, a new grid of Earth. We're already making the shift into non-physical communication, non-verbal communication. The most common forms of non-verbal communication are like folded arms, the direction your feet pointing, you know, making eye contact with someone or looking away from someone, heavy breathing, deep breaths, a glare, wide eyes, squinted eyes, hand gestures, open mouth, closed mouth, all of these different non-physical, or should I say non-verbal, acts or gestures communicate subtle language from human to human. So to think that with 80% of our communication being non-verbal, that there would be more studies and information available for the average person who wants to look into other forms of communication beyond just what we can see, beyond the spectrum of light that's visible to our eyes. We believe that, you know, where your arm is, where your leg is, if you put your hand on your arm, you put your hand on your leg, we want to believe that that's where it stops. But that's the furthest thing from the truth. There's an energy field that protrudes beyond that. There's an energy field that surrounds our legs, our body, our head. There's an energy field that surrounds our phone. There's an energy field that surrounds buildings. There's an energy field that surrounds every object in existence. And what's visible with our naked eye is just below what actually exists in the subtle energy world. It's just beyond our grasp. with technology, we're able to see some of these things. With our mind's eye, we're able to perceive some of these things. But until more people begin to accept this idea, this concept, and this lifestyle, it will be looked at as pseudoscience or science fiction or a myth or just a theory. Western culture, popular science, has its pros and cons. That's true. But what they're unable to explain, at least up to this point, are some of the natural laws that nature just already has in existence beyond what we can create as humans and beyond what our technology has allowed us to perceive at this point, up until this point. Now, going back to the fact that our minds, our hearts emit energy, and that everything, every object in existence has its own energy field. Our heart has its own electromagnetic energy field. Our mind has its own electromagnetic energy field. The heart has a mind of its own. Have you ever heard that? It's true. Because the heart can tell you things that your mind are unable to translate. The quote, follow your heart, is a lot deeper than three words. And this is why I say words can get lost in translation and language confuses things. Because how do you describe a feeling? How do you interpret or translate a feeling? Until someone has an answer for that. Right now, I'm going to say it's very difficult. You just feel it. Instead of putting it into words, instead of trying to explain love or explain an icky feeling, you just feel it. You know deep down inside, this person's not good for me, or this person's exactly what I'm looking for. This person resonates on the frequency that I'm on. Their energy resonates with my energy. I want to pursue that. I should stay away from that. I should go towards that. Those feelings, those gut instincts, those gut feelings. Science may have theories about our instincts and studies about our instincts. But no one knows our instincts more than the actual human being feeling the instinct. And how do you, you know, we wait for these brilliant minds to come around. Nikola Tesla and your Albert Einsteins and your Elon Musks and your Steve Jobs and, you know, Socrates and Galileo, and, you know, you get these philosophers and scientists and thinkers to come together and write essays and articles and do studies and work all about our mind and our instincts and our bodies. But we all have bodies and we all have minds and we all have instincts. So what can you tell yourself about yourself? What can someone else tell you about you? Really and truly. Everything that you learn about yourself, you're just remembering. It's pretty deep, you know. You're just remembering this information. If a spark or a light bulb goes off from hearing this podcast, you're just remembering what I'm telling you. None of this is actually new. None of this is actually brand new information. You're just remembering who you are, what you are, and what you're capable of. Our hearts and our minds radiate an electromagnetic frequency, just like an antenna does. The old phones that, and for as an analogy or a metaphor, the old phones that used to be in rotation all had antennas. The new phones have no antenna, but they have a stronger signal. They have more wireless capability. They're constantly connected to the internet, constantly online, moving at a faster speed than all the other older devices, all wirelessly. I tell you guys, we're in the future. Now, if you're empathic or a highly sensitive person, then you understand the concept of us being antennas, giant antennas, picking up energy and sending out energy, and picking up frequencies and sending out frequencies. The fact that everything is energy, and you can literally feel when a negative vibe is in the room versus when a positive vibe is in the room, just gives credence to the theory that we can pick up on subtle energies, whether you're a highly sensitive person or an empathic individual. Now, there are a few key things that empathic individuals have to deal with and highly sensitive people have to deal with more than your average person. And if you find yourself dealing with any of these symptoms, then you may very well be an empathic or highly sensitive person. First would be that you have to prepare yourself before you go into public crowds, large groups, and you need time to get your nervous system ready before going into large groups. That you're sensitive to weather conditions. And to smog and cloudy, dirty air. Most people are sensitive to bad weather conditions. But if you are empathic or a highly sensitive person, then you truly know and feel what I'm talking about. So, we pick up on frequencies and vibrations just by spending time with someone and walking beside them. Most of the time, when you walk with someone, you two end up walking at the same pace and step. You don't think about it. You just automatically end up taking steps in the same timing. That's actually pretty amazing. mind about highly sensitive people, empathic people, is that they feel more than the average person. They actually understand that some places have bad energy and some sacred places have amazing energy. It's more difficult to explain something that's more about a feeling than so a language. Telepathic communication, nonverbal communication. Is it sci-fi? Science fiction? Or is it real? You know, when we think about something and it presents itself in the most appropriate form in our physical reality, that's the power of our minds, the power of our antennas, the power of our vibrations. Our thoughts today create our world tomorrow. I want to give you guys something to think about. I want to challenge you guys to use your imagination. Now, when we were kids, and if you're still a kid and you're listening to this, you get told to use your imagination sometimes. And at a certain age, you get told that it's all in your mind. And you get discouraged about using your imagination. I'm going to encourage you to use your imagination again. And imagine a world filled with peace, filled with creativity, fueled by love. You know, if one person has the power to manifest something into their physical reality just by thinking about it and adding motion to it, then imagine what we can do as a group, as a collective, what we could bring about, what we can do together as one. Because although we are different manifestations and variations and different frequencies, we are all manifestations of that same energy. Energy cannot be destroyed nor created, only transferred. Imagine from the acceptance of an idea, a concept, or a thought, what we can create. Silence your mind. Regain control of it. Ask yourself, what would a world full of love, peace, creativity, joy, laughter, fun, harmony, and most important, peace feel like? You gotta get yourself emotionally involved and use your mind's eye to visualize a world like that, to imagine a world like that. You know, once a concept or a thought or an idea is widely accepted by the public, we end up bringing that experience forth. Now, if everyone focuses on the next recession, it's only a matter of time until the next recession actually happens. But if everyone focuses on world peace an abundant future for us all. And a love-based, creative society, then that is what will come about. So I challenge you, because we're all connected, to use your imagination collectively and think about a positive future that we can bring about, that's in harmony and love and joy. Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibrations. What's your vibration? Where are you putting your energy? Meditation opens you up to thoughts and frequencies and telepathy. If you're highly sensitive, stay grounded. If you're empathic, stay grounded. Protect your energy. Look into crystals, amethyst, copper, citrine. Do your research. Find out what works for you. Use your imagination. Let's do this, man. It's your boy Nigel Jamal signing off. Elevated Souls Radio. I hope that you were able to grab some helpful information from this. Felt guided to share this one. And till the next podcast episode, I'm signing off. Let's get it. Also, dream big, be limitless, guys. If you are interested in listening to uplifting music, music with positive frequencies, check out my playlist on Apple Music and on Spotify. You can look me up at Nigel Jamal. It's NigelJamal. I have tons of playlists on there. You can go do them and find whatever is for your current vibe. I filter the music, and it's a lot of what I listen to. Anywhere from R&B to hip-hop to classical to reggae to binaural beats to concentration music to meditative music, music at 963 hertz, music at 528 hertz, music at 432 hertz, and so forth. If you're interested, sounds like something you want to do, check out my playlist. Thanks for your time, y'all. Until the next episode, the podcast that gets high when they go low. See ya.